This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
We're talking about the history of big-time college athletic reform. The name of the book is called Pay for Play. The author is Ronald Smith, and he knows what he's talking about because he has written other books. Another book is Sports and Freedom, The Rise of Big-Time College Athletics. He's a professor emeritus of sports history at Penn State University. We've talked about the problems. Let's talk about the possible solutions to some of these problems. As you researched this, Ronald, and saw what these problems are, I don't know whether you felt that the problems are so entrenched that there isn't an answer. What do you see if you had to crystal ball the effort to reform college athletics and where we're headed?
Well, my crystal ball is one in which about the only time you have major reform is when a crisis occurs. And right at the present time, there's no crisis that seems to be so great that it would bring about unbelievable reform. I end my book on one reform that could have some impact, and that's going back to an old rule that we had for six decades of the 20th century, and that is the rule called the freshman rule, in which freshmen are not eligible. I think this would have a great impact on whether students are coming to the university to get an education. Right now, especially in basketball, the players come in who are really good for 1 year because the pros say you need to be 19 before you can go pro. They play 1 year, and then they go pro. And universities like Kentucky and Louisville are very good at this. And there are a number of others that bring in freshmen knowing they're only going to play 1 year, go pro. And I think the freshman rule would be a one major start. And we had that from the early 1900s until the late 1960s, when for financial reasons they voted the freshman rule out and allowed freshmen to play in all the sports except football and basketball, and then 4 years later allowed football and basketball players to go play their first year.
You know, as well as I do, the NBA has the rule that you have to play at least 1 year, or at least be out of your high school sport 1 year, or play 1 year at college before you can make yourself eligible for the NBA. And I'm just wondering whether the pro leagues would then just step in and just siphon off the talent that might go on to college.
I think it'd be wonderful. I don't think it would have much of an impact on college sport. There would be, six or eight players who can go pro immediately from high school, maybe less than that, like a Bryant did with Los Angeles. But there aren't many of those players. And if a person wanted to play immediately at the college level, and couldn't the freshman year, they'd go play in France or Italy or someplace for a year and then go into the pros if they were good enough in NBA, if they were a star over there. I don't think that would have any major impact on the colleges at all. We'd just miss one or two or three really major players. But they only stay here 1 year anyway.
It does seem to me, and you touched on this, and I think you're absolutely right, if there is going to become legitimate reform in college athletics, it's going to have to come from people outside of college athletics, which is namely either the courts or Congress. But then I think most people would ask you, first of all, should Congress even be involved in something like this? And are they any better equipped than the presidents are? Because I'm not sure some of our politicians know whether the ball is stuffed or blown up there either. And the courts would look at it just purely from a very clinical approach, and whether that would be good as well.
Well, what the courts will do, if they do something, is to say college sports are no longer amateur, they are professional, and therefore we are going to tax them, and we are going to tax workers' compensation. And that will have a major impact on the financial well-being of college sport. And when the courts come in and say you are no longer amateur, you're going to find some major changes occurring in college sports. That's why the universities ought to take it upon themselves to reform before Congress does.
Well, exactly, because nobody likes to have the threat of either the courts or the Congress coming in and telling them what to do.
That is right, and I can remember Bill Bradley, the All-American and the Rhodes Scholar and politician who tried to reform athletics along with several other congressmen 20 years or so ago, and they had a little bit of impact, but they could have, but it's really a crisis is going to have to occur, I think. And I don't think Cam Newton's father trying to bribe schools to give him money so that his son would go to that school, I don't think that's going to be the crisis that does it.
What do you think will be the crisis that does do it then, as you see the landscape of college athletics today?
Probably it could be something that would trigger like a gambling scandal like they had in 1951 or 1961 or at Boston College in the 1970s. That kind of a crisis could swing things around. And the major crisis that has changed college sport, strangely, is the one in 1905 over football brutality. And that's right after that we had the forward pass legislated by the NCAA. That was a major, major reform to try to bring break the brutality that was in college sport at the time, with several deaths every year and many, many major injuries.
Ron, without aside from you, with a book like this, Pay for Play, are there any other sane voices out there trying to be heard?
Sane voices depends upon what you consider sanity. There are a fair number of reformers, but they usually are so radical that no one's going to take them seriously. And the radical ones want to do away with big-time college sport. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen with federal legislation or the courts. It's still going to be there. But there are ways of trying to make the athletes who are in college also be students. And you can't do something like the University of Michigan has done, which is to set up a complete area of study for their football players. 85% of their football players are in one curriculum. That is absolutely crazy, and it should be that should be known. And if that keeps occurring, that could be the trigger that Congress would come in and say, look, we can't have that. We can't set up a curriculum so the football players can remain eligible. It's wrong, and it shouldn't be done, but it's done in a lot of institutions.
Let me ask you this question then. If you take a look at the NCAA, and while they do have a president of the NCAA, it's still the power lies in the hands of the presidents and the chancellors and everything. But if you look at professional sports and the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, you look at David Stern in the NBA, and you look at how successful those leagues have been, how disciplined those leagues have been, could somebody come in or should somebody come in and be the head of college athletics that then would give them the focal power to be able to do these reforms instead of having to be put up to a vote and having all these chefs stirring the stew?
I don't think you're going to have that kind of a person come in. One, the universities would not allow it in the first place.
And it makes too much sense.
It may or may not make sense. Certainly it wouldn't make sense to the presidents. Most presidents have fairly big egos. And they couldn't become president of an institution. And they are not going to allow someone from the outside come in to do this. The Knight Commission, which you may have heard of,
sure,
started in about 1990. And it wanted an outside group. And the president said, no way, we're going to do it. We know how to do it. And so the presidents are fairly satisfied with where college sport is today. I just think that the academic part of it has been lost. And I played basketball and baseball at Northwestern, and I know a little bit about whether students are there for just athletics or for for education or for both. I just think it should be, if you're a good athlete, this is the time, it's your right age to be really good, and you should be given that opportunity, whether you're in college or not in college. But at the same time, a university is set up to educate, not to just play ball. And I think you can do both. I think I did both. I think a whole lot of other people have done both. Bill Bradley did both pretty well at Princeton when he went there. And a whole lot of other athletes have done very well academically. And that's what I would like to see, the pressure brought on so that the people who are the athletes see that education is important, and it's important to our society that they be educated.
But I think you and I will agree on this statement, and that is the reality of college athletics today is that everybody likes the way it is. I mean, there are athletes getting educations for free. There are athletes that are finding a way to get into professional football, small degree of them, or basketball, or even baseball to some degree. There are schools that are getting money from alums because their athletic teams are doing well. There are presidents that are riding on corporate jets because their athletic teams are doing well. So, I mean, I don't see where anything is going to change here, and it's probably even going to get worse because there's going to be more of a bigger carrot at the end of the stick if we ever go to a national championship as far as a playoff system in college football. I mean, if everybody is saying, hey, what the heck is the problem with this, do you see any possibility at all other than maybe then slight adjustments of anything happening in the reforming of college athletics?
Well, actually, I see that there is a possibility, and I think the possibility is when especially Congress and the courts come in, it will force the NCAA, which is reluctant, and the college presidents who are reluctant to reform college athletics, to reform, that there will be pressure there to do that. And I think that even though the presidents and especially the fans like college sport the way it is, you didn't notice that there were too many people getting upset about the Auburn quarterback, his father, asking for big money. You
well, can I interject?
Too much opposition in Auburn about that.
Well, let me interject one thing here, and we only have 2 minutes to go here. But if you take a look at baseball and the steroid scandal, you talked about having scandals, but did Congress do anything about it? Absolutely not. And if they didn't do anything about something that is a great institution like baseball, I can't see them doing any. I don't know what the trigger point would be in college sports.
Well, I might differ with you on the legislature. They had hearings on that, and
yeah, but nothing changed.
Well, they are testing for steroids, and you don't see many steroids, evidently, in the pros, and the home run records have gone down absolutely after the steroid thing, and it was partially because of congressional hearings that did it. Congressional hearings have a major impact. NCAA hates congressional hearings, and we'll do almost anything to prevent Congress from really legislating and just having their hearings.
Well, but they're not slick enough to deal with it like the pro sports are, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been close enough to it, and I can tell you that every year you take a look at the number of players that are still being suspended by the NFL because they abuse the drug policy. Baseball, there was another player just suspended for 50 games recently here. Not as much, but I also think they've learned how to game the system as far as the testing goes.
Well, that is one thing that can happen is human beings are human beings,
yeah,
and they're not perfect, and they will do a lot of things, especially in sport. You will lose 5 years of your life if you can win a championship, and that would be they would vote. I'll lose 5 years of my life, but give me the ring.
Well, the same thing with the Olympics. You know, people have cheated there for the same thing. Ronald, I want to tell you, I am so happy you wrote this book. Thank you for the in-depth discussion this hour on Sports Byline. I think it will give people a lot to think about, and I think as we move ahead, hopefully we'll be able to find some common ground so that there can be some athletic reform at the college level. Thank you, sir. Congratulations on the book, and you are welcome back here anytime.
Thank you very, very much.
Professor Ronald Smith, again, he is Professor Emeritus of Sports History at Penn State University, and I hope you will check out this book. It's a big book, but it's well worth reading. It's called Pay for Play, A History of Big-Time College Athletic Reform. We continue with more of you on America's Sports Talk Show.